From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A military shakeup in China. China has reshuffled its top armed forces agency, the Central Military Commission, as President Xi Jinping accelerates what China's national media described as a massive, multi-level reform of the People's Liberation Army. This was Dean Chang from the Heritage Foundation speaking with CCTV after the changes were announced.
While a lot of countries do reforms, they are rarely as tectonic, as fundamental as what we are seeing with China. On December 31st, Xi Jinping announced the creation of three new services within the People's Liberation Army. Now we take the four general departments and break them up into 15 different pieces. The purpose behind all of this, Xi has been very upfront about this, is to make the PLA better prepared to fight and win future local wars under informationized conditions.
On Monday morning, Xi, who also chairs the Central Military Commission, or CMC, said the arrangement of the commission itself has concluded, describing the move as a crucial step towards a stronger military. Meanwhile, China's former minister for public security was sentenced to 15 years in jail for corruption, according to the official Xinhua news agency. Ling Dongsheng was tried in October on charges that he accepted almost 22 million yuan, or $3.5 million, illegally. He was also charged with abuse of power in positions he held between 1996 and 2013. During that period, aside from his stint as Vice Minister of Security, Li's positions included Deputy President of State Broadcaster CCTV and member of the Commission for Political and Legal Affairs of the Communist Party of China's Central Committee. Li is a former aide to ex-security chief Zhao Yongkang, who was sentenced to life imprisonment for corruption in June. Li is the latest in a series of former high-ranking officials who have fallen under President Xi's anti-corruption campaign. Jiang Zemin, former head of the state-owned Assets Supervision and Administration Commission, was sentenced to 16 years in prison in October. Wang Yangchun, a senior energy executive, was sentenced to 20 years in prison also in October. U.S. President Barack Obama was set to give his last State of the Union message Tuesday. Telesur's Bianca Perez has more.
President Barack Obama began his last term in office with some ups and some downs as far as his domestic policy. Just 1 week ago, he signed executive actions bypassing Congress to reinforce laws for the sale of firearms in an attempt to minimize violence in a country which has more guns than people. 2015 was marked with massive protests against police brutality for President Obama's administration. Social movements like the Black Lives Matter movement raised their voices denouncing the social differences that continue to divide the nation. If we speak of the promises made by the administration more than 7 years ago, which still have no resolution, there is the promise of a comprehensive immigration reform, which would benefit 11 million people, and the closure of the Guantanamo prison, a place which has been a symbol of torture, hidden by the promise of national security. In terms of foreign policy and armed conflict, the U.S. continues to be in the forefront of the fight against the self-proclaimed Islamic State and has yet to remove the military troops stationed in Afghanistan. In his last year in office, some of the obstacles that await President Obama include a majority Republican Congress and the beginning of an electoral campaign that will complicate the advancement of his political agenda. Bianca Perez, Telesur, Washington, D.C.
Syria calls out the Western media on its coverage of the humanitarian crisis in that country.
The reality of the so-called besieged hard-to-reach areas is that some of those areas are controlled by terrorist groups who are using civilians as human shields. And other areas are besieged from the terrorist groups who are preventing the delivery of humanitarian assistance.
That was Ambassador Bashar al-Jaafari, Syria's permanent representative to the United Nations, at a press conference Monday at UN headquarters in New York.
In Kafraya and Al Fua, the terrorists are besieging the two towns from outside, surrounding the two towns in Idlib. I'm referring to Idlib. But in Madaya and Al Zabadani, the terrorists are inside. So they are using the civilians as a human shield while they are inside.
The ambassador reiterated that his government would cooperate with the UN to deliver humanitarian aid to all civilians without discrimination. He accused media, in particular the Qatari news outlet Al Jazeera of fabricating news as the network accused Syria's government of refusing to deliver aid to areas controlled by anti-government fighters. Following an aid agreement reached at the UN last week, the first humanitarian aid convoys carrying water, rice, and flour reached the besieged town of Madaya in southern Syria, where people reportedly were dying of starvation. RT's Murad Gazdiev was there and filed this report.
We're just outside Madaya, 1 kilometer in fact. It's very calm here. There's been no shooting that we've heard, which is certainly a positive thing. Humanitarian aid sent by the Syrian government is already in the town. Trucks filled with flour, water, rice. The United Nations and the Red Crescent or the Red Cross have also sent about 36 trucks filled with humanitarian aid. The situation in the town is said to be desperate, though. Something that an opposition figure, an opposition official in the town itself, blames both on the besieging Syrian military and on the rebels, 600 rebels that are inside the village. The last time food, humanitarian aid, reached Madaya and the 23,000 civilians, refugees inside was on the 27th of November last year, when the Syrian government sent about 40 tons of food into the town. Apparently, from what we've heard, rebels there, 600 of them, took much of this food, saying it was for their wartime needs. According to a local we spoke to here, who has family inside Madaya, they're now selling their stockpiles, food which they hoarded, to the locals at very high prices. They're apparently selling rice at 13,000 Syrian pounds per kilogram. That's about $30 per kilogram. So there's a lot of hope that now, with this new food going in and with how much media coverage of this there is, that the rebels will let this food go to civilians instead.
Back at that UN press conference Monday, Syria's ambassador challenged media coverage of the humanitarian situation resulting from the war in his country. That challenge provoked a heated exchange with some of those present.
It is bewildering that whenever there is a step forward towards a political solution in Syria, certain incidents are fabricated to defame the Syrian government and to negatively impact the political process. I will get back to this point because it's very important. The examples of such incidents are many and happened before certain United Nations Security Council meetings, as well as before Geneva II meeting and Moscow I and Moscow II. Consultative meetings. Now, and when the Syrians are going to meet in Geneva, end of this month, certain regional and international parties supporting terrorism in Syria are not satisfied that the Syrian government is engaging positively in the political process and thus are trying to demonize it. And by the same vein, torpedoing the meeting in Geneva. And this is what we have heard today, emanating from Paris after a meeting between the French President of the Republic and a representative of one faction of the opposition. The Syrian government, upon a request from the Undersecretary Stephen O'Brien, Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, approved on December 21st, 2015, the delivery of a humanitarian assistance to Bludan in Damascus countryside. Bludan is next at an adjacent town to Madaya and al-Zabadani, and to al-Salamiyya, Mharda, Herbinafso, al-Sabura, and al-Sqilbiyya in the governorate of Hama. The Syrian government identical letters containing replies about the Secretary General monthly report on the implementation of Security Council resolutions 2139, 2165, and 2191 contain details about the cooperation and facilitations offered by the Syrian government to deliver humanitarian assistance to all areas without any discrimination. I would strongly advise you to go back to these letters, official letters. All of them have been circulated as official documents emanating from the Security Council. I would like to refer to a very important issue related to the targeting and destruction of oil and services infrastructure in Syria by the international coalition led by the United States. Those attacks aim at destroying the capacities of the Syrian people and preventing development and reconstruction. They are also a continuation of the attacks that have been committed against many vital economic installations and have caused great economic and material losses. On January 3rd, 2016, the coalition targeted a water plant in the plains of Raqqa governorate, which led to the destruction of the plant that used to provide around 650 cubic meters of clean drinking water for the neighboring towns and villages. Before that, and on October 10th, 2015, aircraft belonging to that same coalition bombed the Radwaniya area east of Aleppo City, targeting two thermal power plants. The bombardment caused severe damage to the stations and took them out of service, cutting off electricity to the area, the whole western area of Aleppo. The losses sustained amount to 1.2 billion euros. In addition to such attacks on services infrastructure, the oil and gas infrastructures in the country were also targeted, as you know, and stolen by Daesh and its affiliated entities and shipped through Turkish border to inside Turkey to refineries owned by the son of Erdogan, the Turkish president, and from there to the port of Ceyhan in Iskenderuna area, the Syrian occupied part by Turkey, and from there to Israel. It's very worth it business because it's very cheap, and the Turkish intermediaries make a huge amount of money of benefit thanks to this illegal kind of business, which runs contrary to the Security Council resolutions on combating terrorism. Mainly speaking here, I'm referring to 2199, which prohibits, and 2253 and 2254, all of them prohibit any country, any member state, to buy oil and gas from the terrorists, whether they are Daesh or Jabhat al-Nusra or Ahrar al-Sham or anybody else. I'm in your hands.
Can you clarify your comments on Madaya? Because we've seen reports of deaths, some in the last few hours. We've seen pictures of starving people. Are those fabrications?
Yes, indeed. And the main responsible for these fabrications is your own channel, Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya. Unfortunately, this is not personal against you. I have a great esteem for you as a professional reporter and journalist. But your channel is mainly responsible for fabricating these. Hold on. I haven't finished yet. For these allegations and lies. Today, 65 trucks entered Madaya, Al-Zabadani, and Kafraya and Al-Fu'a. 65 trucks of humanitarian assistance, and including medical supplies, to Kafraya, Al-Fu'a in Idlib, as well as to Madaya and Al-Zabadani in the countryside of Damascus.
Why did it take so long for those trucks?
Hold on.
Because the last delivery was in October.
Because you didn't follow what I said in my statement. We asked the United Nations resident coordinator. First of all, we sent together the Syrian government with the ICRC and OCHA. On October 18th, a humanitarian assistance capable of responding to the needs for more than 2 months. The representative of the ICRC in Syria, in Damascus, appeared on the Syrian TV. Of course, he will not appear on Al Jazeera. You will not call him on Al Jazeera. He appeared on the Syrian TV. He appeared. No, I am at the United Nations.
Yeah, but you are appearing live.
You are free. You can cut the emission if you want.
Ambassador.
So hold on. On October the 18th, we sent humanitarian assistance enough humanitarian assistance for more than 2 months. And the representative of the ICRC corroborated this 2 days ago on the Syrian TV, saying that there is no starvation problem in Madaya. This is where I want to arrive. Hold on. This is October 18th. December 27th, we asked the resident coordinator to send immediately convoys of humanitarian assistance, again, to Madaya and Kafraya and Al-Fua. The UN did not send. When we asked them why you didn't, they said we were facing logistical problems. So we are not responsible of this. Now, today, 65 trucks. Why it took so long, as you said? Actually, there were no starvation in Madaya. The problem was that a huge humanitarian assistance and medical assistance was distributed inside Madaya, as I said, October, December, and now. The main problem is that the armed terrorist groups steal the convoys and the trucks, and they deviate them to their own warehouses and storage. And then they resell it to the civilians with, prohibitive prices that the civilians cannot afford it. There is a problem, yes, but the problem is this. The terrorists are stealing the humanitarian assistance from the Syrian Red Crescent as well as from the United Nations, and they are keeping this assistance in their warehouses, and then they use it as a leverage of political and financial gain for them to survive.
Mr. Ambassador, do you say, Mr. Ambassador, that your government is not using starvation as means of war? And do you say that the U.S., the U.N., all these officials are lying?
This is an old joke, what I have heard from you. I want you to be responsible when you address this issue. I explained to you. I was explaining to the gentleman, and I'm explaining to you once again. The Syrian government did not stop any convoys of humanitarian assistance. On the contrary, we sent plenty of convoys, and we asked the UN to send more. But more you send to these terrorists, they are terrorists. Do you think they are angels? Of course, they will confiscate this humanitarian assistance and use it as a matter of gaining at the detriment of the civilian population. So the Syrian government is not and will not exert any policy of starvation against its own people. Here we are talking about Syrian people. While these terrorists I am referring to from Ahrar al-Sham, Jabhat al-Nusra, and Daesh, 90% of them are foreigners. They are not Syrians. They are from Turkestan, Eastern Turkestan, meaning China, of course, but here I'm not referring to the Chinese government, of course. I'm referring to the Gulf states regimes who are bringing these terrorists from the four corners of the globe and sending them to Syria through our border with Turkey. Turkestan, Chechnya, Libyans, Tunisians, Saudis, you name it. You name it.
Ambassador. OCHA, according to OCHA, there are around 400,000 people in besieged areas. And they say that 181,000 are under in areas besieged by the government. Do you deny this here on the camera? And also, did you deny the OCHA reports that there are 181,000 people in besieged areas in Syria? And also, did you receive the list of the opposition figures who were going to attend the peace talks in Geneva?
To be accurate, just for the accuracy to appear in this conversation, I'm denying that 180,000, you said 400,000, you didn't say 180,000.
181 under the government, besieged by the government. That's what OCHA is saying, 200,000 by Daesh and 12,500 in Fua and Kafraya besieged by the opposition.
So somebody was on the ground and he calculated 181,000.
That's OCHA's number.
Okay. The answer is that not only 181,000 and maybe 15, 1,000, 80, 80, 115 maybe. let me add 15 individuals to the OCHA figures. No, this is wrong. Those who are besieged are all the Syrians. We are talking about Syria being besieged by enemies, by criminals, by murderers, by hostile governments targeting the whole Syrian people. This is a reality. It is not about 180,000. It's about 23 million Syrians besieged by economic sanctions, by terrorists crossing from Turkey, from Jordan, from Lebanon, from Iraq. This is a reality. The whole Syrian people is under besiege. And those who are crying on the Syrian people when they sink in the Mediterranean are the ones who are responsible for this, because they are imposing economic sanctions on the Syrian people, which results in cutting jobs and employment, dismantling of factories from Aleppo and Idlib to Turkey. 1,441 industrial factories were stolen from Aleppo and moved to inside Turkey. Of course, when you do that and you add to it economic sanctions, right, and you send terrorists from all over the world to Syria, that means, of course, there is a starvation, there is an economic problem, there is a humanitarian situation in Syria. We are not denying it. But we should hold accountable those who are the real perpetrators of this situation.
And the Secretary General of the United Nations has said that that as many as 250,000 people have died since the beginning of the conflict in Syria. Hillary Clinton and Senator Graham have talked about the Syrian government being responsible for 250,000 deaths alone. Can you give us your indication of what you think the death toll is and any reason why Syria doesn't sort of systematically provide that information to the United Nations?
We are providing systematic information on a daily basis almost to all the reporters. I would like to refer you to these reports that we send from the Syrian mission almost every week with regard all the figures and all the military operations taking place on the Syrian soil. This is number one. Number two, when you refer to figures, nobody could double-check these figures or triple-check them. We are not sure about these figures. Sometimes there is an exaggeration on everything, as you know. So it may be higher than 250,000. This is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it is less than 250. It might be higher than 250,000. And this is what I was trying to explain to our gentleman here, that we have a problem. Yes, we have a problem because we are a victim of too many negative exercises by too many foreign governments against the Syrian people. So evidently, the people are suffering. Evidently, people are leaving the country. Evidently, there are refugees here and there. Evidently, people are displaced from here and there because those economic sanctions exerted on the Syrian people resulted in the unemployment, high unemployment rate, no jobs. As I said, the factories are stolen and shipped to Turkey, and then terrorists are coming from all over the world. Could you believe that we have 3,000 terrorists from Turkestan? They are Chinese. They came to a village near Aleppo with their own families, and they are established there after slaughtering the Syrian citizens who live there. They took their homes, their lands, their houses, and they killed many of their children and wives. And now they are declaring themselves an Islamic emirate. They are not Syrians, and I could give you hundreds of similar examples with regard such situation.
The Clinton remark is not true. I mean, would you like to respond to Clinton?
What?
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton accuses your government of being responsible for 250,000 deaths. Is that untrue?
My friend, go back to WikiLeaks cables, and you will find out that the American administration concocted, starting 2004, a strategy to topple the Syrian government by force. Go back to WikiLeaks cables and you will find out the language used between Washington, the State Department, and the American ambassador in Damascus. Please go back to WikiLeaks and you will see that all our problems started after we said no to the American-British invasion of Iraq.
Mr. Ambassador, on Turkey.
Two questions. First, can we have a copy of the report you just read out? And secondly, you said that there are those interested in torpedoing the peace talks and the political settlements. Aside from the terrorists, who of course would have an interest in that, who else would you say wants to sabotage the peace talks?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is a good question. I would like to remind you, you were here, all of you, at the beginning of the crisis. Every time the Security Council used to meet to discuss the situation in Syria, if you remember, a massacre happened, if you remember this. On the eve of each meeting of the Security Council on Syria, a massacre took place somewhere in Syria to influence the kind of debate taking place in the Security Council. Then we moved from massacres to using the media. Today, this innocent girl called the Syrian Mona Lisa, I'm sure you saw her face. The Al Jazeera and others and Al Arabiya pretend that, and of course CNN and others, pretend that this girl is Syrian and she is starving in Madaya. I'm sure you saw her face and her picture. A beautiful little girl, 10 years old. You know what? This girl is not Syrian. She is Lebanese from the city of Sidon in the south of Lebanon. She is not even Syrian, and she doesn't live in Syria. Still, these propaganda TV channels hostile to the Syrian government insist till now on presenting this little girl as a victim of the government starvation of its own people in Madaya. I'm just giving you an example. Now, why this issue of Madaya was raised a couple days ago? Because we are going to Geneva. The Saudis, the Qataris, and the Turkish government are not in favor of Geneva talks. They don't want a political settlement of the Syrian crisis. They don't want the Syrian to sit with the Syrians to discuss about their own future, according to the Security Council Resolution 2154. So the best way for them is to escalate the tension with Iran, fighting Iran in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia. Wherever they can fight Iran, they can. But they cannot fight Iran face to face because they are cowards. They cannot fight Iran face to face. Now we are going to Geneva. And the Saudis, as you know, and the Jordanians did not come up with their two lists, who is opposition and who is terrorist. Both of them failed to present the list. So the best way to torpedo the Geneva talks and prevent the talks to take place is by raising a humanitarian issue, defaming the Syrian government, demonizing the Syrian government, bringing us again to the Security Council as a guilty government to defend ourselves, rather than to engage, positively speaking, in implementing the Security Council resolutions, 2153 on combating terrorism, engaging seriously on combating terrorism, and 2254 on the political process. So something is wrong in the mind of these regimes. They don't want political settlement of the Syrian crisis.
Mr. Ambassador, on Turkey, you said about oil going through Turkey and then back to Israel. Where do you get your information? I mean, the information
Der Spiegel,
the Russians
Der Spiegel,
presented
Der Spiegel,
was a big lie.
Der, Der, Spiegel,
lie,
Der, Spiegel, Der Spiegel and the Russian Ministry of Defense, who showed the photo satellites about the convoys.
But the Kurds denied that. Those reports. The Kurds in northern Kurdistan.
The Russians did not speak about the Kurds. The Russians spoke about the smuggling of oil, Syrian oil, through Iraq to inside Turkey, from Turkey to.
Not to be alive, Mr. Ambassador. What else? What other information do you have?
What can I tell you?
Thank you.
Enough. Of course, we have our own information as Syrian government. We provided all this information to the Security Council subcommittees dealing with combating terrorism. So we have plenty of evidences.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.